opening narration.
Icatra Foundation presents the Icatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Icatra AI.
Introduction.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're jumping into a book that honestly shook things up big time in the sports world. Sam Smith's The Jordan Rules, the inside story of a turbulent season with Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, it really did. A groundbreaking piece of reporting.
So our mission here is to get past the sort of polished myth of Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to uncover the real story, the human story behind that first Chicago Bulls championship in 1991.
Exactly. It's not the simple hero narrative we often get.
No, it's messy. It's about what it really takes to build a dynasty, the good and the bad. And I think it tells us a lot about leadership, maybe conflict, too.
Definitely. And you said it, the book caused a huge stir back in 92, because up till then, Jordan's image was, well, pretty much perfect, right? A marketer's dream.
Totally flawless.
But Smith's book, It was one of the first to really peel back that layer. It showed something crucial. The public myth often hides a much more complex reality, sometimes a brutal one. And that reality is just as important.
The chronological journey.
Okay, let's get into it then. Before he was this global icon, the smiling face on, well, everything.
Right.
He was this incredibly intense, brilliant, yeah, sometimes tyrannical athlete. And the Jordan Rules just laid it all out there.
What makes the book unique, I think, is it's not a cradle-to-grave biography. It's laser-focused on one season, a really transformative one.
Smith had amazing access, right? He was the beat writer for the Chicago Tribune.
Unparalleled access. He wasn't just watching games. He was there.
Yeah.
In the locker room, on the plane. He saw the fights, the arguments.
The psychological games Jordan played.
Oh, yeah. And the immense pressure Jordan put on everyone. Teammates, coaches, even the general manager, Jerry Krause.
So you have this huge gap, right? The public sees this perfect hero, but Smith shows the raw, difficult process behind the greatness. It wasn't effortless.
Not at all. And that's why it's still relevant. It gives you that essential human context for the Bulls dynasty. It's like a case study.
Yeah.
You know, leadership, power, the tough choices that come with being exceptional.
So where did that intensity come from, that almost obsessive drive? Smith must look at his background, his early life.
He does, yeah. He traces it back to his childhood in North Carolina.
Mm.
Apparently, everything was a competition for him, even as a kid.
Really? Everything?
Seems like it. His dad, James, really pushed that work ethic. His mom, Dolores, gave him that emotional grounding, which probably helped later. But the big one, the story everyone knows.
Getting cut from the varsity team.
Exactly. Yeah. As a sophomore. And instead of just, you know, being bummed about it, he used it. That failure, that rejection became fuel, like an internal fire that just never went out. He wasn't going to take no for an answer.
That story's become legendary, hasn't it? Shows his mindset. Then he goes to UNC, University of North Carolina, plays for Dean Smith. How did that shape him, especially with Smith's team-first approach versus Jordan's individual talent?
Yeah, that was an interesting dynamic. Dean Smith's system was all about the team, passing, structure. Jordan was already this, you know, incredible individual player. So there was tension there.
A clash.
A bit, yeah.
Yeah.
A tension that kind of followed him into the pros.
Yeah.
But he learned something important there, even if he fought it sometimes. Individual skill has to serve the team.
Yeah.
And of course, hitting that game winner in the 82 NCAA final.
Against Georgetown.
That was his big hello world moment for performing under pressure.
Yeah.
It cemented his belief in himself in those clutch moments.
Okay, fast forward to the season the book covers, 1990-91. The Bulls were kind of stuck, weren't they? They kept losing to the Detroit Pistons in the playoffs 3 years in a row.
Oh, they were haunted by the Pistons.
Yeah.
The bad boys. Yeah. It was a massive psychological block for them.
And the Pistons had the actual Jordan Rules defense.
Right, which was basically stop Jordan no matter what. Double team him, triple team him, get physical, knock him down. It was brutal. And losing like that year after year, it created this huge doubt within the team. Could they ever beat these guys?
And inside the team during that season, Smith describes this war within. What did that actually look like day to day? Sounds pretty rough.
It was intense. Jordan basically ruled the roost, driven by this need to win above all else. And his methods, they were harsh.
Like what?
Well, openly mocking the GM, Jerry Krause.
Mm.
Calling him crumbs because he supposedly had donut bits on his clothes, making fun of his height, his weight.
Wow.
Freezing out teammates in games if he thought they messed up. Like literally not passing them the ball.
Seriously.
Yeah. And Smith details a fight in practice with Will Perdue, a center. Jordan actually punched him over a screen dispute.
Punched a teammate
Yep. And he constantly ragged on Bill Cartwright, the other center. Called him medical Bill because of injuries, told guys not to pass to him. Jordan's view was, I'm making them tougher. But, I mean, he was also pushing them away, right?
That's more credible. Punching Purdue, calling Krause crumbs.
Yeah.
How did the team even function? And how did Phil Jackson, the coach, deal with all that? How did he manage Jordan?
Jackson's role was crucial. He was more than just a coach drawing up plays. He was like a master psychologist.
Really?
Yeah. He was mediating the fights, holding meetings so guys could actually talk about this stuff, trying to subtly nudge Jordan towards, you know, working with the team more. He knew he couldn't put out Jordan's fire.
No way.
But he could maybe build a strong enough container for it, channel it somehow. So for the rest of the team, just surviving Jordan's personality, learning to deal with it, that was part of their education that season. And Scottie Pippen starting to really step up as a true second star was vital too.
Core philosophy and values.
Okay, so if you had to boil it down, what was Jordan's core philosophy according to Smith's book? It sounds pretty tense. Win at all costs.
That's basically it. Winning was the only thing. And pretty much any method to get there was okay in his book. It was like a brutal meritocracy.
Oing.
Meaning he believed pressure, confrontation, even bullying, those were tools. Tools to find out who was strong and who was weak. You had to earn his respect constantly.
And that must have clashed with Phil Jackson's approach. Jackson was known for his, like, Zen philosophy, right?
Totally different.
Yeah.
Jackson was about balance, harmony, the collective. He wasn't trying to crush Jordan's ego, but maybe integrate it. Find a way for that immense fire to serve the team, not just Jordan himself. Jackson's job was almost to contain Jordan in a way.
What really drove Jordan, though, more than just wanting to win games, was it something deeper, like a fear?
Smith suggests it was this insatiable hunger, almost pathological, really, to dominate everything, not just basketball. Card games on the plane, golf, whatever.
Everything was competition.
Everything. And maybe underneath it was this deep fear of failure, a constant need to prove he was the best, maybe driven by feeling slighted earlier in his career or even that high school cut. His relentless gambling, which Smith also mentioned, seems like another part of that, just another way to compete and dominate.
Three pivotal turning points.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting for me. You have all this internal chaos, the history of failure against Detroit. How did they turn that corner? It wasn't just talent flipping a switch, was it?
No, definitely not. There were some key turning points that season. The first big one was fully committing to the triangle offense.
Tex Winter system, pushed by Phil Jackson.
Exactly. For years, the Bulls offense had kind of been give it to Michael and get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
The triangle was totally different. It was about ball movement, player movement, creating multiple options.
Making everyone a threat.
Right. Making the team less predictable, less reliant on just Jordan's individual brilliance. It essentially forced Jordan to change his game, to become like the conductor of the orchestra, not just the lead soloist.
But he hated it at first, didn't he? I remember reading he'd just ignore it sometimes in games.
Oh, he resisted strongly. He wanted the ball. He trusted himself more than the system or, frankly, his teammates sometimes. Abandoning the triangle in games, going back to his old ways. That happened a lot early on. It was a real battle for him, ego-wise, to actually buy in.
Sure. Okay, so the triangle is one. What else?
The second turning point, maybe surprisingly, was Jordan's ongoing public feud with the GM, Jerry Krause.
How is that a positive?
Well, it was this constant power struggle, right? Very public, very tense. But weirdly, it created this us against the world feeling for the players and coaches. Like, management might be against us, or at least against Michael, but we're in this together. It kind of bonded them in an odd way, and it really cemented Jackson's role as the buffer, the guy shielding the team.
Okay, so they've got this new system, this kind of weird siege mentality unity. Then comes the real test, the playoffs, and specifically getting past Detroit, slaying the dragon, as people called it.
That's the third and maybe most important turning point, sweeping the Pistons in the Eastern Conference Finals. 4-0.
After losing 3 years straight.
Exactly. It wasn't just a win. It felt like an exorcism. It completely shattered the Pistons' hold over them, psychologically and physically. All those years of doubt just evaporated. And then the Pistons walking off the court without shaking hands.
Yeah, that was infamous.
It was such a clear sign. The torch was passed. The old guard was done. The Bulls had finally arrived.
Human lessons and reflection.
And from there, they go to the finals against Magic Johnson and the Lakers. The promised land, finally. And there was that one specific play in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to capture Jordan's whole journey that season.
You mean the pass to Paxson?
Yeah, in game 5, the clincher.
Absolutely iconic moment. Game on the line, Jordan drives, defense collapses on him, and the old Jordan, maybe even the Jordan from 6 months earlier, takes a tough contested shot, right?
Sure, sure. He wants to win it himself.
But this time, he sees John Paxson wide open, and he just makes the simple pass. Paxson drills the shot, seals the championship. It wasn't just a good play, it was proof. Proof that he finally trusted the system, trusted his teammates in the biggest moment possible. He'd shifted from wanting to personally win the game to wanting the team to win. Huge difference.
So reflecting on all this, the human lessons feel pretty stark. The book really shows the, I don't know, the dark side, or at least the difficult side, of greatness, doesn't it?
It really does. It underlines that the price of that kind of achievement is incredibly steep and maybe kind of lonely, too.
Yeah, isolating seems like the word.
Jordan's story, as told by Smith, shows that extraordinary success often demands extraordinary sacrifices and sometimes methods that are, well, unpleasant. It forces you to think about the relationship between greatness and personality. Are they separable? Do you have to be that ruthless?
It challenges the idea that you have to be nice or even liked to be a great leader, maybe.
Or at least it shows one path to greatness that wasn't built on harmony. And it highlights the need, eventually, for even the biggest ego to sublimate itself somewhat for the team good. That Paxson pass is the symbol of that.
What's really striking, though, is how they used the conflict.
Yeah.
This team was full of tension, resentment even, but somehow that became fuel.
Exactly. It wasn't a harmonious locker room. It was a pressure cooker. But Jackson figured out how to harness that friction, turn it into a competitive fire. It suggests that maybe avoiding conflict isn't always the answer. Sometimes you have to face it, manage it, and use its energy.
Three final takeaways.
So if we boil this all down, connect it to the bigger picture, what are the key takeaways from this deep dive into the Jordan rules?
Okay, three things stand out for me.
Yeah.
First, an emotional insight.
Yeah.
It's about the sheer, maybe the loneliness of being that driven, that demanding, and also the intense pressure cooker environment for his teammates.
The feeling of constantly being tested.
Right. The fear, the criticism, but then also the incredible release and validation when that same leader finally trusts you in the clutch, like the Paxson pass, and you achieve something huge together. It's that whole emotional arc.
Okay, emotional insight. The loneliness and pressure, but also the eventual shared triumph. What about intellectually?
An intellectual insight. The triangle offense wasn't just X's and O's. It was really a philosophical intervention. It showed how a system, a different way of thinking, can actually channel and redirect even the most dominant, resistant personality like Jordan's towards a collective goal. It's a lesson in how structure and philosophy can shape behavior, even at the highest level.
Using a system to manage immense individual talent.
Got it. And universally.
And a universal insight. I think it's that lasting success, real greatness, often isn't built in quiet, peaceful rooms. It's forged in fire.
In conflict.
Yeah, in conflict, disagreement, intense pressure. Real strength isn't about avoiding friction. It's about finding ways to use it, to learn from it, and to build something stronger, not just in spite of the struggles, but actually because of them.
Was the narration?
You know, in our current world, with everyone carefully crafting their online image, their personal brand, the Jordan rules feels incredibly relevant. It's like an antidote to all the sanitized success stories we see.
Yeah, it's a reminder that reality is usually messier.
It really makes you wonder, doesn't it? What difficult truths are hiding behind the polished surfaces of the success stories we admire today? And, maybe more importantly, are we willing to look past the highlights to understand the real, complex human struggle underneath? Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring. Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.